Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast with myself, Michael Bailey. I'm joined by the head of news here at Urchant, Ian Clark, and sports journalist David Freezer, who was also in the away end at New York Stadium for Norwich City's 2-1 defeat to the championship's worst side.
What enthusiasm in that, well done.
I'm just getting used to it now, Dave, that's the thing. That's a sad indictment, isn't it? One of the worst club teams in the country this season as well. Dave,
you have to love black humour. We need it, don't we?
Been a plenty of it about in the last couple of days, isn't there?
See, Dave's on fire too. I like it. We'll rattle through it. We've got a few bits and bobs to bring you as well over the course of the pod. But Clarkie, I'll come to you first. A new low in what has been a wretched season?
I think so. And I, as we all do, you know, we go around, like, we talk to people, and I bump into lots of Norwich fans in lots of situations, whether it be at work, in the street, at church. Yesterday, everyone was bombarding me with questions, you know, when you go shopping and all these places. And there's just, I can't remember a time when there's just been such a collective, you know, despair, resignation about how rubbish things are. And maybe we've sort of pitched our hopes too high, that we've got to a pretty grim stage, but it's grimmer than I can remember.
Yeah, I guess maybe a lack of resignation is more of an issue for some Norwich fans. Yeah. It's an interesting thing, though. You talk about the expectations, because that's probably the thing that marks it out to, say, when I had, you know, the decade I had a season ticket when it was pretty dross and it was mid-table championship mediocrity, and that was that. This is supposed to be the year Norwich bounce back, like they did 2 years ago. This is when the chief executive in November, which is not that long ago, started by saying it's promotion, promotion, promotion. It's a very easy soundbite. It's one he's going to get reminded of every time from here on in.
He certainly is. And even at that point, people were cynical about the statement. And we're 3 months further down the line, and it's looking much, much less likely than it was. I mean, they were top in October, and I think that the overwhelming frustration with everything is that we can go back to early in the season when plenty of people weren't convinced, even when they were winning games. They were saying, well, they don't look like a team. They're not playing particularly well. They've obviously got good players, but they're only just about getting through things. And they were beating teams like Burton and Rotherham. Couldn't even beat Rotherham on Saturday, could they? I'm quite pleased about it because I'm only 30 and I'm starting to go grey, so I've got something to blame it on now. So that, you know, that's been the positive for me. And the away end on Saturday wasn't a happy place. There were people getting angry from fairly early on. There was a group to my left who were trying to get chance of, we want Neil out, midway through the second half. And there were, I saw a few arguments over that between City fans, which wasn't nice. Never liked to see that. And there was one guy even who, Tim Closer took a throw in the first half, threw it back to John Ruddy, which seemed fairly harmless to me, but it prompted one Norwich fan to scream, "Oh, F off, Neil." So I'm not really, I think that probably shows that a lot of people have just made up their mind and that they're just not happy with the way that the club is going, the way that the team is playing, and they just want to see a fresh man at the helm.
But there's no unanimity, and I wrote this today because I can now say the word, about in the fans at grounds wanting him out. As you said, those chants, even at full time, you know, most of them joined, maybe half the way and joined in with them, maybe not even that. They didn't last very long. I guess no one on the pitch lasted very long either, which didn't help. And at Carrow Road, we're going to get two bites of the cherry probably over the coming weeks as well. I mean, are they going to be able to send a message, or is there more resignation, like you say, in the crowd as to what Norwich's situation is going to be from here on in? Because the board clearly think he's their man.
Yeah, and they do. And I don't see any them moving away from that. They seem to be completely united on he's their man. But I can't see any way back for him now and for the team now, when it's just week after week. Even you get the Derby win, which is clearly a decent win, but it's followed up by where we're now at. What will Saturday be like? It always slightly depends on how things go early on. I mean, an early goal, a couple of early goals would lighten the mood, but clearly if we went early on, done early on, and, you know, you see Lambert prowling along the touchline, I think it could get pretty tasty.
Yeah, Paul Lambert's Wolves at Carrow Road. I mean, it's an interesting thing because clearly I talk about this. The board have their sights on the strengths that Alec Neil's got. That's probably another debate about what they are, because I haven't really seen many of them probably for about a year at least. And they obviously feel that the issues are not centred around the manager. They're elsewhere, which is fine. But I don't really see how Alec Neil is the man to employ that much faith in, because the transfer windows haven't gone very well. There seems a real tactical naivety a lot of the time, and I don't really see any sign that he can manage a squad so that he gets the best out of them.
Yeah, I can agree with that to a certain extent. And the way that Clarkie just painted it, that basically all the fans have made their mind up and the board are opposed to that, aren't they? The board are saying a completely different thing. And all right, there's staying true to your convictions, and maybe they feel that the players have let Alex down so much that they just want to back their man. But surely there comes a tipping point when in the boardroom they say, oh, hang on, we're all saying the opposite to the fans, and we're putting up this wall between us and the most important people at the club. And if they can't see that, then that is burying your head in the sand, and that can't be a good way to go for the future of the club. Because if people are unhappy outside and aren't willing to renew their season tickets, as we've seen the prices released today, if they're not willing to pay £25 for an FA Cup game, you know, if when Paul Lambert was in charge, would anyone have talked about a season ticket price particularly? I mean, it was season tickets were like gold dust. Just match tickets. I mean, just to get a general match day ticket was difficult. And unfortunately, we're starting to see a decline here, and we don't want to see the club end up like Portman Road with big, empty parts of the ground. So at some point, the board have got to decide, well, hang on, let's get back on side with the fans. Let's try something new, a fresh face. You know, get some of these players out, get a few new players in, bring the youth through and see where we go. Because at least if they try something, I think people will, you know, maybe give them a bit more sympathy. But if you just keep pounding away at the same thing, I don't think you're going to win yourself many friends.
Or like Molyneux, it has to be said, as well as Portman Road.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know, I'm sure we all know plenty of people that are actually now saying, even though they've bought a season ticket, do you know what, I can't be bothered to go if it's going to be a cold day or something else crops up. And certainly with the cup games, and when it comes to renewals, that's going to be very interesting. I mean, I've spoken to several people today that are normally they would be, you know, straight away tick, you know, is what they do, and they've been saying, well, actually, you know, it's cost me £500-600. You know, am I at the stage where I'm looking if there's something else I'm going to do? Will I go more casually? Will I not bother? And that's sad, isn't it? When, you know, we've built ourselves for so many years on brilliant support, and if that is eroded, then we will get to the, you know, go from 20 to 17 to 15, and then you're right, you get to the half full, half empty ground every week.
So then it gets to the point that a lot of fans have done to say, well, why haven't they sacked him? And I know the Sun story about the £2 million payoff was not quite denied by Alex Neil, but he, you know, dismissed it basically and said that he wasn't going to go into the details of the contract. But it gets to the point where fans are saying, well, what's going on? Why have they not made a change when it seems so obvious? And if it is because they feel the players have let him down massively, come out and say it. Give him proper public backing and put some more meat to the bone, because people don't understand their loyalty at the moment, other than the fact that he got them to Wembley. But as time's going on, it looks more and more like Alex just managed to get a bounce and hold back the tide for that little while when the club and hold back the club's decline, and now it's finally caught up.
We should say season ticket prices have been frozen. That is essentially the underline for the fourth successive year. I believe they got pretty close to having an increase, but probably felt backed out of it, which ultimately they really had to do. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those renewals and the attendances and what have you. Also, something to worth point out, I do believe there is still, at the moment, a decent waiting list. I believe probably still four figures. Quite how much of that hangs around as well, we will see. Because ultimately, we've been surprised before. People have flocked back. They've decided to go for it anyway. You know, it may happen again.
I was quite interested in the sort of the narrative behind the headline when they talk about what the figure is and what it costs and how much it is per game, that it only talked about how much it costs in the championships. It was like £22 a championship game. There wasn't, or if we're in the Premier League, you know, it'd be £30 or whatever, however it would work out. And you might say that's just being realistic, or you might say it's a, you know, slightly unambitious thought, and at least they could have chucked that in to keep people's hopes up.
Well, you talk about that. I tweeted it after the game. I got a little bit of stick for it because I think some people are like, well, yeah, duh. But I don't think it was that straightforward personally. I think that this season is done in terms of promotion. Even if they pull out a miracle and get into the top six, which they're 8 points off the top six now. I know there are lots of games, lots of points to play for, blah, blah, blah. But reality says that's a big gap, bigger than they had 2 years ago. Even if they claw that gap back, which would require a complete change that they've managed for about 4 months now, I don't think they'd have got enough to beat the sides that are above them. I think they're better sides in better form this season.
I think when you look at our form against the teams above us, have we won any games above us? Maybe one, maybe Villa. Are they above us or not?
No, they're below.
They're below us. So really, we haven't beaten anybody who you would consider to be, you know, a potential rival when it comes to the playoffs.
Derby, probably the only one. But again, yeah, that might well be a blip, given what's happened since. Let's just touch briefly on the game then, shall we? The main talking points, Norwich didn't start for the first 15 minutes. They went a goal behind. They had a player sent off because Nelson Oliveira was effectively fouled in the penalty box. Should have had a foul given his way. Probably a penalty then in that case. Didn't like being held in a headlock, so lashed out, which Kirk Broadfoot made the most of, and he got sent off for it. I mean, it, slightly misfortune there, but of course he's also done the wrong thing. He now has a 3-match ban, which he will start serving against Southampton in the FA Cup replay on Wednesday. Tom Adeyemi made that first goal for Rotherham. Cameron Jerome got an equaliser in the second half. Even Norwich were the better side with 10 men for 70 minutes, which just underlined how poor Rotherham were, because they really dominated them for most of the game, outplayed them with a man less, a man fewer, and still contrived to lose because Tom Adeyemi headed a lovely winning goal. So the bit of me from Norwich, the bit of me that loves this city, I was happy for Paul Warren and Tom Adeyemi because it was a brilliant day for them, but Rotherham were
Yeah, I thought it was a reasonably entertaining game from a neutral point of view, but pretty low on quality. It could quite easily have been a League One game. I thought there was, if you hadn't had Wes Hoolahan on that pitch, there would have been pretty much no quality. But all the Norwich players, basically, the game plan was give it to Wes, hope that he does something. He did manage to do it for the goal. It was an immaculate cross for Cameron Jerome to turn in. I actually thought Jerome put in quite a bit of effort when he came on, and I wouldn't really level at any of the players in the second half that they weren't trying.
I agree.
But they didn't look like they had a coherent plan, like they were on the singing from the same hymn sheet. It ended up that they were playing against a sort of lower league team playing in a more direct style with big centre-backs, and they had Alex Pritchard and Wes Hoolahan trying to unpick the lock. And to be fair to Paul Warren, he inspired his team to, you know, to hold on there. I honestly thought that result was it. When New York was playing around the stadium at full time, I thought, well, is this sort of fitting? It's like the end of a sitcom or a film or something like that. Is this the end of Alex Neil? And I thought that it might have just been too embarrassing for the club to stomach. You know, a fitness coach who used to play for Wroxham and Diss has just inspired a team to beat Alex Neil's Norwich City. But it seems the board, as we are recording at the moment, are sticking to their guns, and it's not a game that I want to relive, especially. Nelson Oliveira, of course, really let everyone down. It was a strange move as well. I mean, he clearly was fouled. The referee really probably should have done something about that as well, because it was quite an aggressive move from Broadfoot, but it was almost a UFC punch from Oliveira, quite a strange one, reaching behind his head to do it, and yeah, deserved it.
He looked wound up, I thought, from kickoff, Nelson Oliveira. There was something about that, definitely.
I was going to say, I thought it was quite ironic that, by all accounts, Paul Warren doesn't really want the job. And, you know, he's got it and was successful. I know they're still bottom. And, you know, he triumphed over someone who clearly has got no intention of handing in his ticket. It's football, I suppose.
Seems like a top bloke from before and after. I mean, I've heard him on Radio Norfolk. They've had him a few times sort of during the season, haven't they? And he seems like a nice bloke.
I played football with Paul Warren once, as I keep telling everyone. Yeah, he was very good. And he came across as a great bloke. And yeah, it's interesting how, as you said, he's reluctant, yet he managed to get more out of his players than Alec Neil did, which is a bit of a damning indictment, really. OK, well, let's hear from Alec Neil, Russell Martin and your good selves. We've got a couple of little clips from you. Thanks for submitting them. Don't forget, you can do that over at pinken.com/podcast, and I think there should be a red button. Press record your thoughts and we can include them in the podcast. And you can swear if you want, we can beep it out. It's brilliant.
I think it's a step backwards. You know, I think, it's just really frustrating and disappointing because we felt as if we were building a bit of momentum in the last three games. We had some real good performances, particularly against Derby. But we didn't perform, certainly at the start, when we had 11 men anywhere near what we can. To be honest, everything that could have went wrong has sort of went wrong, really. I mean, we lost a goal, we lost a player, we lose a midfield player. We've only really literally got one midfield player left, whereas we started the season with five. And that was an area where people say we were overloaded. Do you know what I mean? But because of injury and going away to the African Nations or whatever the case may be, it's a problem. And to be honest, we went for the game at the end, but I took Alex Tetty off because he's the only midfield player I've got left, and if he picked it up on our yellow card, he was going to be suspended for two games.
What point do you write off the season in terms of where you want to finish? I know it's a brutal question.
You don't, do you? We're still in touch with the playoffs. I think we weren't. I don't think we were in the top six last time the manager came in around this stage of the season, so it's not a write-off yet, I don't think. Nowhere near it.
And just with Martin Olsen, it looks like he's going to be on his way by all accounts. You haven't really been in a position where you've lost players like that over recent years, so does that change anything if that's happened over the coming...
Within the group, the atmosphere, not really, no. I don't know. If he goes, he'll go with everyone's best wishes, and it'll be... Obviously, the club see it as good business for them, but it won't change anything within the group. I think we're all aware of where the club are at, and the club have, you know, the finance people, you know, Jez and the gaffer and the technical board, they have to make decisions, and they've made that one. He's been good for us, so if he goes, obviously we'll all be sorry to see him go as a lad, as a person, but I don't think it changed anything. I'm sure the club will be on the lookout for replacements and have to make us strengthen us again, but we've still got a real good core in there and we have to make sure we turn it around.
I was going to say, because protecting the strength of the squad has got to be key as well. We always talk about how this is one of the best squads in the division, primarily based on players like Martin that have been there and done it. And lose those players, that's really difficult to replace as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one. I think Olsen had a chance to go in the summer. There's a lot of stuff that people don't see, you know, that goes on. In a day, he's got a choice. The club will accept the bid. He's got a choice if he wants to go or not. We're in a position where that's good business for the club. They've seen it that way, so he's got a choice to go. If he takes it, like I said, that's down to him. I don't think we see it as you know. I think what you're getting at is maybe the lads see it as it's not. We're not seeing anything at the end of the season if we're going to let players go. But that's not the case. We've got depth. We've got quality, and I'm sure they've got a replacement lined up if he does go. And we have to make sure, like I said, with the quality we've got, if we had one or two, which I'm sure we will this window, that we kick on and turn it round.
Hi, this is Daniel from Brundle. I'm a Norwich City season ticket holder in the City Stand. And for me, I think it's absolutely shocking that Alex Neil is still the manager at this point in time. I mean, any sane Norwich fan really wanted to see this guy be successful and do well for this club, but you can quite easily see that that's not happening now. And I think it's about time that the board actually just made the decision and actually got it done, because the longer this goes on, the worse it is for this football club. I mean, so many mistakes again today. I mean, if you look at the left back situation, who in their right mind sells their left back on a weekend where you've got no viable alternative? You've just let one go to Scunthorpe on loan, who's, in my opinion, is a very good little footballer and would do a job. And instead, you play a right back at left back, and funnily enough, two goals come from that position. And now I notice that with regards to Nelson Oliveira, now he's attacking him as well for the fact that they lost the game. Well, I think these players are trying to make a message to the fans, saying that we're fed up as well. We want him gone. So they're literally trying to do everything. I mean, look how many players have been sent off in the last couple of weeks. You know, three from memory. You know, you had Housen, you've had Brady, and now you've got Oliveira. All key players, all getting sent off. And for me, I think it's time for him to go. So, and also a lot has to be said at the board as well. The board, they really need a lot to answer for. I mean, Ed Ball's comment on Twitter about trying to blame it on misfortune. It's not misfortune, mate. It's complete piss poor management, not just from a manager, but also from the board as well. And I think it's time that as a club we actually got rid of the manager and replaced him with someone who's a bit more decent and acceptable. It's gone on way too long. For me, it was after Brighton it's been that long for me, and I'm getting a bit disheartened, to be honest, with as a Norwich City fan. It won't stop me from going to the game to try and support them and cheer them on, but it's very, very hard to pay much interest to the football club right now, because I just feel so much anger by the whole thing. That's all I'll say at this point in time, so that's me signing out. But yes, Alex Neil has to go for me, 100%.
Hi, and Happy New Year to everybody there at the Pinkham. I'm a season ticket holder, have been for the last 16 years. My New Year resolution is to throw back my season ticket, as I feel that the club is going absolutely nowhere. They're just exploiting the supporters. The team doesn't want to play. They're on mega bucks. I'm a paramedic, I earn my money. If I get something wrong, somebody dies. They get something wrong, they just say, oh yeah, it's just another game. So yeah, I'm not going to tell you where they can stick the season ticket, but I'm sure you can guess. Have a very good New Year, Pinkham. I love your reports. Keep up the good work. Ta-da, bye.
Welcome back to the Pinkham.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, DraftKings.co.uk/pink, to play free. I think Alec Neil probably hates Rotherham because we had Lewis Graben twice causing him all sorts of jip, and this time it was Nelson Oliveira. Martin Olsen is, of course, bound for Swansea. Hasn't been confirmed as we record, but we are thoroughly expecting it to be, unless something untoward happens. Stephen Whittaker filled in at left-back. Got the blame for both goals. I didn't really see that myself. I thought you could quite easily... I mean, it was Johnny Howson who was tracking Adeyemi's run, and the defending in the box was shocking, and Whittaker was nowhere near that for the first goal. Second goal, he did get beaten in the air, Whittaker, by Adeyemi, but also Pinto and Naismith didn't cover their ground. They were a man down, which was probably part of the reason. But
Pinto was poor for that second goal, and the way he was beaten was far, far too easy. As I've already said before, I think in this podcast, I don't see Pinto as being good enough if they were to go up. He's obviously a good attacking threat, but he can't defend well enough. He can only just defend well enough when he's on top of his game at this level. I think if you had an old-fashioned centre-back in charge, like someone like Mick McCarthy, I don't think he'd have him in the team, to be honest, because I don't think he defends well enough. But yeah, Whittaker, he didn't cover himself in glory. I mean, I wouldn't blame the whole thing on him, but because I felt a bit sorry for him. Not only was he playing out of position, but the only person he had in front of him was Wes Houlihan. And we all know that is a... you know, akin to Darren Huckabee's defence in front of Adam Jury back in the day. We talked about this at length in our thoroughly miserable Q&A on the website this afternoon, which was the pits, really, wasn't it?
It was a dark place today.
I needed a drink at the end of it. But, Martin Olsen has suffered that a bit with Brady as well, isn't it? So is it a system issue? Is it a formation issue? Because... back in the day, we mentioned Huckabee and Drury there. When Huckabee drifted, Gary Holt filled in and helped out Adam Drury, and that's where Alex Tetti should be. But Tetti really doesn't look like he's got the pace to do that anymore. He looked like he was a yard behind where he should be pretty much the whole game.
They were a funny side because they did... I kind of agreed with Russ when he said that they actually looked athletic for most of the game. They didn't really tire, and they played 70 minutes with a man less, fewer. But I mean, that could have just been the opposition, and in general they don't look anywhere near as dynamic as the teams they're playing, and there seems to be this sort of mismatch between what the fans and what I personally look at them and see them playing and what maybe they believe in the camp. The curious thing I thought, just a random observation, in the warm-ups, Frankie McAvoy was the one doing the sort of holding of the ball and laying it off for them to do their shooting drills. I mean, I'm not being funny, but I think I probably could have done a better job Just whisper it.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should. Okay.
Or his son could do it. I mean, he plays for Yarmouth and Lynn, isn't he? So he knows what he's doing.
Spot on, DF, spot on. Right, okay, so we've done season ticket prices. Norwich, I've got a major issue at left back. I think we should get back to that if Olsen leaves. Brady is free to play in the FA Cup replay at Southampton. It'll be very interesting to see if he does, given that would mean he would be cup tied then. Any potential suitors might not fancy that. And then it is literally Whittaker at left back because Harry Toffolo's at Scunthorpe for the rest of the season, which, why you get that deal done so quickly, unless you genuinely think Harry Toffolo isn't good enough, which seems to be the question at the minute, certainly.
And days tick away to get more bodies in, don't they? I mean, we're now literally halfway through January, and you think that the thoughts now will be on Southampton, it will then be on Wolves. So the gaps, I don't know, there'll be different people looking, but the gaps run out, and you know, are we going to end up with very little, you know, extra cover, new bodies in?
It'll tick by quickly.
Yeah. Toffolo, just a ridiculous situation as far as I'm concerned. He should have been playing at left back on Saturday. I think that's a failing from the club, pretty massively, really. But yeah, I mean, Wednesday night obviously is approaching pretty quickly. Southampton. Who they play there, it's going to be quite an ask of Whittaker to play three games in the space of 8 days if he has to play at left back,
having not played a lot at all before.
Exactly, that's quite a big ask of him. It's going to be a very interesting team selection, actually, because Alex Tetti was one of the issues, wasn't it? Alex took him off towards the end because he's one yellow card away from a 2-game suspension, and with Johnny Howson going off injured, Grant Orange already injured, Yusuf Malumbu in Africa for the African Cup of Nations, and Louis Thompson only just on his way back from his pelvis problem, he's all of a sudden got no holding midfielders. The under-23s played this afternoon. They drew 2-2 with Fulham, and Ray Grant wasn't involved at all. And I would have imagined, if you'd have asked Alex Neil at the start of the season whether Ray Grant was going to be involved in the first team, I would imagine he would have said no, because he's still a young lad. I don't want to knock him. You know, he's got potentially, he looks pretty good for the under-23s at times, but he's not, they weren't intending to have him involved in the first team this year at all. And him and Ben Godfrey both not involved, so they may well be needed at Southampton.
Yes, which would be interesting.
That says a lot, doesn't it, when two lads, albeit good prospects, are, like you say, they've needed. Pretty dumb when you're playing at a Premier League ground. Whatever you say about the FA Cup and its relative importance, yeah, that's not good.
Well, it's a bit it's a curious thing, because I think if the club are going to sell off its prime assets, then you give the youngsters a chance and you give the fans a chance to fully invest themselves in those youngsters. And if you then loan them out because they're not good enough, then what are you going to do? Presumably they're going to buy in a cheap replacement, or they're going to loan someone in. I mean, where's the investment in that? That is literally a regression to 2008.
What message does that send to the academy players? What message does that send to Harry Toffolo? You know, I think we've both interviewed Toffolo at times, haven't we? He's a good lad. I can't imagine him saying something out of turn to Alex Neil. He works hard. We saw him pre-season. I think people in pre-season generally thought that he was looking pretty close to it. If he can play for a team challenging for League One promotion in League One at Scunthorpe, he should be good enough to play for a mid-table championship team, which is what Norwich are.
I think there's Alec Neil will defend himself, and he will say something like Harry's not ready or which whatever, but I just think there's this disconnect between the perception of him doing well with young players and what he's actually done, which I think is probably stopped at Jacob Murphy, really. But anyway, okay, well, Southampton, me and Paddy will be looking forward to it, probably, by the time we get there on Wednesday. You'll appreciate that. Sorry, Pad. So we look forward to that. Don't forget, all the coverage of that game will be at pinken.com. We'll have all the pre, post and what have you. The Pinken Show is on that night, so I'm going to be doing some live phone calls from there. Live coverage, pinken.com/live. Videos on the Facebook page, which has a handle at The Pinken. If you want to go follow that, we'll do videos on there and stuff as well. I might get accosted by more stewards. Yeah. You never know. If you haven't seen that video, go over to the Facebook page or the Mustard TV YouTube channel. Don't know what the link is for that, but you'll find it. Clarky, thank you very much for joining us. Your football return tonight.
Yep, I'm in goal at Dereham Netherd School. So we've not been in too well. We're second from bottom. So I think it's going to be a busy night again in between the sticks.
What time's kickoff?
7:15.
Yeah, this is, unfortunately, I don't think I'll get the pod out before that. Otherwise, I'd tell people to get along and watch you, give you a cheer.
But TV will be broadcasting now,
absolutely. Yeah, it's being broadcast around the world.
That would have to be a GoPro attached to your head, though, Clarky. If you can manage that, then it'll be all right. Dave, thank you very much. And we'll be back probably after Southampton, definitely after Wolves. Give Paul Lambert away for us. I'm sure the Wolves fans will be giving Jez Moxey away for them. Goodbye.